Several years ago, when I was an associate pastor at a church, we had an adult Sunday school class, and a fellow had been teaching in that class, and he was not, I knew him, but he was not a close friend at the time. He actually became a close friend after this this thing I'm going to tell you about. But one Sunday morning, I was the connecting pastor at this church at the time, and so I was always kind of out and about and near the front doors or the doors of the sanctuary, greeting people, talking with folks. And after the end of one service where we had just had a Sunday school time, I had two different ladies, two different sisters, ladies I knew, part of the church there, who came to me, both in tears, kind of sad and angry, all rolled up together. And I said, what's going on? And they'd just been in a Sunday school class where this person had been teaching. And the way that he was speaking of Jesus really bothered these two sisters. And so later on that week, I met with this brother, dear brother. But I met with him, and it seemed that he had gotten himself into a bind in his teaching because he was minimizing the mercy of Jesus. The way he was speaking of Jesus and the gospel came across to these two ladies in particular, and others in the class, came across as full of judgment and lacking mercy. And it so bothered these two ladies, literally, their tears. And I appreciated their hearts. So later on that week, I met with this brother, and I still remember vividly. I remember where we met. I remember the restaurant where we were and where we were seated. And we began to talk about just the different things, not just what had happened in this class, but just life. And we began to just get to know each other better. And I learned more about some things from his own past and things that I think even fed into what had happened. And at one point, as we were talking about this kind of hole in his gospel, so to speak, at one point he said, Mike, I guess I'm just too into justice. I'm just too much about justice and righteousness. And I said, brother, that's not possible. None of us can ever be as much about justice and righteousness as the Lord is. We'll never outdo him. I said, but I think what's going on here is, I think you're lacking mercy. And I think he had failed to experience some mercy. I think the Lord had some more healing, just like we just sang. I come broken. I need to be mended. I come wounded. I need to be healed. Well, that's everybody in this place too. Every one of us, including the guy talking. That's every one of us. And as I spoke with this brother, and he really did become a good friend out of this time, it was really a neat thing. I thought, you know, he needs more mercy. He needs more mercy in his life and in his message. And I'll tell you, as I've thought about that happened years ago. And I've thought about it more than once. And I think not just about him, I think about me. And the truth is, everybody I know needs more mercy. I don't mean just mercy that we receive. I mean mercy in our lives. We need to understand and grasp the greatness of the mercy of God. And I don't think we can, but I think we should be leaning into it, trying. I believe that the mercy of God is greater than we can comprehend. I really do. But I think we're supposed to try. And we're not just supposed to try to comprehend it. But that's where we're headed today. We're going to be talking about mercy and justice coming out of our passage today. Because not just that brother, not just me, but all of us, I believe God wants us to get a bigger picture of who he is and of what his mercy is to us and then through us. And that's where we're headed today. If you are like me, if you feel sometimes like you got a really good sense of justice, you know, I can be kind of a cop on the beat. I can be kind of a rules guy. And that comes naturally. It comes easy. Mercy doesn't come as easily to me. It doesn't come as naturally. If you can relate, or if you resonate with the idea that the mercy of God is probably greater than you can comprehend, and it is. I mentioned first service, and I'll tell y'all, I think if I could see, if God could give me just for a moment a picture of all the sin. And I mean, I think sin, not just things that we do, right? The motives in our hearts that we come to later understand were false when we were kind of justifying ourselves. All these things. I think if I could see all my sin in a moment, honestly, I think I'd fall over dead. I don't think I'd be able to handle it. I really don't. And what that tells me is the mercy of God is bigger than I can put words to. And I don't think we think about it that way enough. Will you pray with me to that end? Oh, Father, we need you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, as we've already sung, we've already testified, God, of not just your greatness and your holiness, but part of your greatness and your holiness is your mercy and your grace. Lord, we could never come up with a God like you. We could never think you up in our minds. You're better. You're so much better than we could ever imagine. And your mercy is leading the way. Lord, as we walk through your scriptures now, as we delve into Genesis 18 and then a few of the verses after, Father, we pray that you would work in us, that you would work in us your mercy. Lord, we want to be people of justice. We want to be people of truth. Oh, but God, let mercy mark us as your children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to dive into Genesis 18 now. We're going to finish up the chapter. We're going to pick up in verse 16 here. So you'll remember, if you were here last week, or let me quickly remind us where we are. So this is Abraham and Sarah, right? They're there in the heat of the day, and three men walk up, only we're told it's not three men. It's actually God incarnate. So I believe this is the pre-incarnate Jesus, but it's God incarnate and two angels, okay? That's really what we know. They look like men to him, right? They've taken on appearance as men, but these are really God himself in human form and two angels. And so they've had this interaction with Abraham and Sarah where they remind them of the promise that had been made to them decades previous that Sarah is going to have a son, that there's going to be an heir, that Abraham and Sarah will have an heir, and that heir will not be alone. He will not be the only heir, but that they will actually be the parents of multitudes, so many that they won't be able to be numbered more than the sand of the sea or stars in the sky. And so God shows up and he tells them again. And so that's what we saw last week. And so now picking up there, verse 16, then the men rose up from there. That's these three that look like men. It's really God and these two angels. We're told in the front part of the chapter, and we'll in chapter 19, we see that these are angels. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. So where we're going now, so there's a sharp break. We're turning away from the story of Abraham and Sarah, the story of their walking by faith, the story of God blessing them and keeping his promises to them. We're turning away from that story, and we're coming into the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which I'm just going to be honest with you. As I was walking back through this past week in preparation for weeks to come, I'm just going to tell you, hard stuff, but real stuff. And so now the story turns in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah, but we don't get to that story just yet. That story is referenced, okay? But what we see here is actually something different. So these men rose up from there, looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off, right? They've just met. God incarnate and these two angels have just met with Abraham. God has reminded Abraham and Sarah, because she was listening. Remember, she was listening just inside the tent of the doorway of the tent. And so now these three are heading out. Verse 17, the Lord said, so now the Lord's going to speak for a while. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So that last phrase there, in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Remember, at this point, Abraham and Sarah still don't even have a baby yet. Much less, you know, multitude of family and grandbabies and great-grandbabies, right? They're in their 90s and 100s, like they're really old. And yet God says that there's going to be, that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through them. And how do we know? Well, what's the nature of this blessing to all the nations of the earth? Remember, God had called Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Jews. He called the special people just for his own name, to bear his name, just for his, to be his.